Hi, everybody. I'm Cynthia Garrett, and welcome back to this week's session. So if you were smart enough to be with us last week, then you will know that this is part two of a conversation that we've been taking, which is sort of a journey into girlfriends and sisterhood and what it means to be a woman and what it means to positively affect change in the world as a woman. So we have been joined on these sessions with some of my girlfriends, or by some of my great girlfriends. So you've got Christina Reynolds over there, who's been our musical guest. But then on this side, we have Juliette Mayhew, who joined us last week, who's back again, Zanya Schumann. And Skyping in at 3 o'clock in the morning from America is our other girlfriend, Christine Sewell. Now, all of it, by the way, only a good girlfriend would get up at the crack of dawn and Skype into your television show to talk about being a great sister in Christ. So the interesting thing about all of these girlfriends for me is that they are not just girlfriends. They're really and truly my sisters in Christ. And they're the kind of women that push you to be better. And they look out for you, and they have your back, and they kind of tell you the hard things when you need to hear the hard things, and they tell you the good things when you need to hear the good things. And that's truly what a sisterhood is supposed to be about, not about a lot of the things that the world tries to create for us and pit us against each other in a lot of ways. So as we get back into this conversation, that is a really interesting place to start. The world really does pit women against each other. And when we ended last week, Zanya, you were talking about identity. And that's really a part of our identity being stolen. Don't you guys think?
Not feeling worthy enough or up to the task.
Yeah.
With, I would hope, with your girlfriends who you align yourself, Christian girlfriends, we're sharpening each other, iron sharpening iron.
Yeah. Yeah. Christine, do you have a lot of girlfriends that kind of occupied these kinds of roles for you?
I have the best friends ever.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful.
I'm one.
For the relationships in my life. Oh, you are so one of them.
Woo, woo, woo.
I love my friends.
Yeah. Yeah. We started out this journey and this conversation talking about how it was based on a study that Stanford University did, which actually spoke about the fact that while men need to be married to a woman to grow spiritually and to be healthy, women actually need their relationships with each other to grow. And it reminds me, you guys, of this story that Roger told me, my husband, about C.S. Lewis and Tolkien, right? Because you guys know, especially across the pond, they know because they get to claim these people as their own. But they were sitting around talking about how the rise of the Industrial Revolution was going to really change the world negatively because it was going to destroy women's relationships with each other. Why? It was when the washing machine, this blew my mind, was when the washing machine was created. Why? Okay, because historically, women would strap the babies to their bodies, and what would they do? They'd go down to the rivers together to do the laundry. So when the washing machine was created, what did women do? They went inside their homes. They didn't congregate together anymore.
Wow.
They didn't have that fellowship, the older women teaching the younger women to do something. I found that to be brilliant and really true.
Which is where the saying comes, don't air your laundry in public.
Right. We used to air all our dirty laundry in public. Maybe that's why naturally women are attracted to chat shows. We're looking to air our laundry somewhere and work it out.
It's good.
Isn't that crazy?
I think it's one of Satan's real arrows that he uses against us is isolation. Mm-hmm. If you look at a pack of wolves and how they hunt, what do? They go for the weakest one, then they isolate. And isolation is when you're easily attacked because your identity is so affirmed by those who love you. And especially if you have people around you that have the word in their hearts, they naturally will speak word into you through your ears because your mind has a funny way of just kind of circling about thoughts, but you need that input to file things, to really put things away and to really believe things because you can tell yourself, oh, you know, I've got nice hair or whatever, but it makes a huge difference when you tell me that my hair is not looking bad and you telling me that I don't need to color out the grays that are sticking out and you telling me I don't need a cut or whatever it is. Yeah. I will then put that thought to bed. But if I'm in isolation and I keep on mulling over these things, they start eating away at the reality of who I am.
And the bigger impact on that as Christians is that when we go to the world, is that we are carrying like a negative process. They're not going to be attracted to someone who's got insecurities about who their identity is. Yeah. And the point of actually hanging out with other Christians is when we do like crazy stuff, I'm like, okay, pull it together. You're like, Juliet, okay, filter, enough already. We kind of learn. We bump each other up, prickly. We can hedgehoggy. We get rid of our prickles.
Yeah.
It's healthy to be around each other to kind of pull us into alignment.
See, I think that a lot of girlfriends that I've had who are not, they're not believers, right? They're not Christians, good girls. And they get the fellowship with each other and the strengthening. But it's interesting because, and it's the one thing I always try to slip in, you know, with them. What I get something different with them than with my girlfriends who are believers. And it's the faith. It's the word of God. There's something powerful about you saying you're beautiful, Cynthia, or no, you're a strong person. You can do this because I get that you understand me from the core out, my core in Christ. And that is the deepest area that women need strengthening in. And ones who don't know the Lord don't even know that that's really what they're craving.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that people who are not there yet, that maybe are new to the faith or they're only considering getting into it, it's not as deep and heavy as that. Don't think Bible under the arm, you know, big old church dress, and all we talk about is Jesus, and, you know, if only you're more like Jesus, then you'll be better. It's not, I mean, it goes as I'm thinking about, and I hope you don't mind me telling this, but even into beauty tips.
Right.
Remember we were sitting, poor Cynthia had a very stressful traveling from America to the UK, and in all of that, her immune system got a little kick, and she got she had broken her lip, and it got a bit infected on her lip, and she's saying, how am I going to look on screen? Because these things are not important to our salvation, amen, but you still want to look like a girl on screen. You don't want to have this big old lip staring at you.
Right.
And I sat there, and God just gave me a remedy for her that I'd never used on my own children. It was something my mom had done for me years ago, and it was literally putting the inside of an eggshell on her lip and to leave it there overnight. And
this is the craziest remedy,
this
you guys.
Awesome.
Have you ever heard about this?
This is awesome.
Literally, I didn't even realize that because I'm thinking the inside of the egg, okay, the yolk and the egg white that I eat. And so Zanya says, no, empty the egg out. And then on the shell, there's like a thin membrane if you peel it out. Well, sure enough.
So the placenta of the egg?
There's like, no, it's weird. No, it's actually, no, it's crazy. It's like a thin membrane of white. I don't even know. It's almost like a paper.
It's literally what
the uterus.
Is that what it's called?
We're baby people.
It's like, maybe so. Well, I peeled the uterus of the egg out.
Not the placenta.
Yeah, not the placenta.
Not my words, by the way.
I don't know what it was, you guys, but I peeled this little
we
white
should try
out.
It all over the face.
Well, I bet you it's fabulous all over the face.
I'm going to try it tonight.
Because think about it.
Honestly.
Anti-aging.
Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you this much. I put it on a wound on my lip, and I woke up the next morning, and it was gone. It was healed.
And what was great about it, there was no context for me to remember this. There was no book. There was no evidence that this had ever worked on my children or on my, you know, other than myself. But it was a different kind of injury that I had. And to remember something that I hadn't thought about in years, it's a God-inspired thing. I could have told it to go and get a number of different medications, which mildly would have maybe improved it. But this thing, she sent me a text message the next day saying, there's a 95% improvement. I can barely see it, and I couldn't see it at all. And look at you now, it's 2 days later.
I know. And I didn't do it last night. I just thought, okay, well, I'm finished.
Great.
But it is really crazy because that takes me back to the river. wade in the water. I mean, literally, these are probably things we would have discussed there, because our grandmothers would have been there, and our grandmothers' grandmothers would have all been friends. And then, good. You know what I mean? Like, all together, you start passing these things down, and now we're isolated. So, I mean, my question was going to be, why, in your opinions, do you think we work against each other a lot of times as women? That could be one of the reasons I just stated. But what do you see when you look around the world and you look at life around you today? What are some of the reasons why we do work against each other? I see a lot of women who, they don't think like we do. They don't think include. They think exclude.
The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy in every part of who we are. So the one...
Whether you know it or not,
yeah,
right?
One of the things that really affect us in women in separation and is to feel... to attack our identity and who we are and our value and our worth. Well, let anyone, but particularly women who, yeah. Christina's, I'm sure, got a lot to say on that.
I think it takes us right back to the Rick Warren, it's not about you. Mm-hmm. And when, I think we can get into that kind of crab pot scenario where you feel like you need to push others down in order for you to rise. And when we're struggling with our identity, we find that we need to push others in order to feel better ourselves. And it's just like Christina said earlier, last week, it was, we tend to put others in that situation where we can't find who we are.
Yeah, yeah. When we don't know ourselves, we're walking around in fear, shadow boxing. Yeah. With enemies that don't exist, right?
Yeah. Can I say something?
Yeah, of
because
course.
I feel like especially my generation with social media now being like the number one way to socialize and connect, which has so many pros, but the con to that is that you're never in real time, you're never not paying attention to how many people like me now. How many people why do people like her more than me? Am I not pretty enough? Is my butt not big enough? Like we talked about, you know?
Oh, so like when don't get me started on that one.
Yes.
If I knew that generations of girls were actually going to value having a big butt and big lips and everything, I would have stopped being so insecure and dieting so much when I was there.
I'd just eat what I want.
Yeah, I'd just eat what I wanted.
Yeah, but actually something interesting is that now that I'm into my 30s now, I've really struggled with envying, thinking, like saying, oh, Cynthia's got the perfect this, the perfect that, and I always hated myself. Mm-hmm. But it comes back to identity and feeling like I have to compete with someone when in reality you guys are talking about the body of Christ, the different limbs, like knowing who you are and appreciating who you are. That once you get there, then I can go, I'm in my lane, and only I can do me, and only she can do her, and without each other, the world is not as full. You know what I mean? So once you get to that mindset, you start encountering yourself in the Lord. All of a sudden, like the Lord, I started using this hashtag. I'm not using it correctly, but because it's for businesses, but it says community over competition. Mm. And it's all about celebrating everybody and supporting and, you know, instead of giving to jealousy and anger and envy, which just isolates. So you get stuck in that mindset. Well, she's better. She's got it better. I will never be like that. And then, like you said, that's the devil's playground. Then I'm like, I'm not effective in the world. I'm missing out on life, I'm depressed, it's a choice.
I honestly think it's a mandate from the world of negativity that is the place the enemy lives against women, and there has been one from the beginning of time, we could go back all the way to Eve, where if he can destroy women's sisterhood, and if he can destroy our knowledge of our identities, the race is done. Because when you think about it, we're the ones chosen to give birth. We're the ones chosen to raise children in a different way than men. Men obviously are a huge part of that. But we have this role that's so important, and absent us, things are not as good. I think men would agree with that. That's why that study was so incredible to me. Mm. Men, in order to grow and be healthy, need to be married to a woman. Women, in order to grow and be healthy, need to nurture their relationships with other women.
And also back to looking at the Bible and the women in the Bible. Mm. I mean, God has equipped us really to revolutionize the world. I mean, look, but when we're not setting on God, look how destructive it can become. Look at Jezebel.
Yeah.
So they talk in the Bible about these incredible women changing the world, but what can happen? The carnage that can happen if you don't align yourself with Christ in that, and you don't let your be accountable to your sisters in Christ, and you don't get yourself in the Word of God, and you go off piste and you start doing these crazy marches.
I looked at a lot of those marches and I thought, but gosh, that doesn't look very feminine.
What a role model.
Right,
it is.
What a role model. I want
to my daughter.
I want my daughter to grow up and be really mad and hate men. Not like, what is that? It's anger.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's a lot of anger. So, I mean, from, I guess, our perspective, what would you guys say are some positive ways that we can work together, believers, unbelievers, whatever, but as women, as sisters, to bring about the positive changes that we want to see in our communities?
I think the first thing is we need to stop trying to be Christians operating in a secular way. We cannot take on the philosophies of the secular world and try and fit our Christianity into it. We need to fit the world into our Christianity so that we can communicate with others. Yeah. Because in that, we'll get a lot more done. And one of the big things is, one of the things that I've kind of figured that puts history in a loop, where you have a mistake being made, being fixed by the next generation, and then the generation after that just does exactly what that generation does, is that we try and outwit each other and outperform each other instead of dealing with the world in hate and tit for tat, getting back at you for doing whatever wrongs you've committed against me. I now that I've been empowered not to be offended or in a position where I actually have some power, I'm going to use it to bring you down to the level that you had put me in. And it's that continuous cycle where there's never balance. And it's because hatred will do that. Yeah. Hatred is the devil's way of dealing with a problem.
Yes.
Love is God's way. Oh, love is absolute forgiveness. And forgiveness is not just, hey man, I forgive you. It's, I will forget what you have done. Therefore, I will renew my mind and think differently. Mm-hmm. I will plan my life and structure my life and figure out a way to do things in a completely new way so that I don't repeat the sins of the past. I'm going to rethink this from a point of view of love with nothing that holds me back.
Your husband actually said something really profound on this that really struck me about how we in the world are effective in every hemisphere. Like, you get these people like, well, I'm called to this and I'm called to that. You know what? We're called to the poor, the needy, the orphans, the widows. We are called to everyone at every level of society.
Yeah.
But you know what? If we translate in to being accepted into that, or where we're comfortable, mm-hmm. You know, you can make a friend. What's that effect going to be?
Right.
You're called to be in that place to speak the words of God that God's given you for that person that sees them, and not be affected about the environment that they are at.
It's be who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're a Christian woman, be a Christian woman. You know, it's so profound what you guys are saying. But my friends who are not believers, my friends who are gay, my friends, all kinds of people, right? They love me for who I am, and I am Christian Cynthia, who, when they have a problem, I'll speak to them about, well, in my faith, this is what I believe, this is how I would do it, and I try to love on them and be Jesus to them. And it's very interesting because I've never felt negativity from them against who I am, and I don't need to compromise who
truth.
I am. Right.
Speaking but truth.
Truth yeah. in love. And it's...
Right.
One of the reasons someone like Ravi Zacharias, who I spoke about in our previous episode as well, he has a way of speaking to so many different levels of people, so many different beliefs with and positions, and he brings incredible change through the word that he brings, but he brings it in such a loving way that he could have an audience that listens to him. And his theory is that it's because of his mother, talking about women and the influence they have. He says that one of the things that changed him fundamentally in the way that he operates is his mom that said to him, you cannot cut off someone's nose, hand them roses, and tell them to smell it. And if Christians can understand that we cannot offend people around us and then expect them to see the beauty that we see. Because this book, as much as it has been publicized as having all kinds of things in it that it really doesn't, this book is about love. From the first page to the last page, it's a love story about how God loved us so much that even when we rejected him, he decided to have his own son die for us, to bring back those that are lost. And if we can bring that message across without cutting off people's noses, then maybe they'll smell what we smell.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember my husband's a very wise man, and he always says, my darling, you need to have the newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other. You need to know what's going on in the world. You need to be up to date. You need to be on it. But, you know, we need to balance it out and make sure that we've got the Word of God with truth. Mm-hmm. So we know how to combat. This doesn't cause us fear. This doesn't cause us to be scared. It's about putting Jesus in that place. So being in the world, not of the world.
Totally. And Christine, I would love to hear about this one as someone who, you know, through your testimony and through the different things you've been through in your life, one of the things that always has, it impresses me about you is the depth of your trust in God. How do you help girlfriends, women that you meet, who may not know God, they may not have accepted Jesus as a savior, they may not have the same relationship you do. How do you share trust? How do you teach them to trust God?
Well, Sonia nailed it. You love them.
Yeah.
When you love them, when you're there for them, when you hear them, then they're going to be receptive to trusting in a mighty savior who has that same compassion and love that we are displaying to them.
Yeah.
We are the hands of Jesus. We are Jesus to those that don't know Jesus. So what we represent is how they receive Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. We're the only representation on earth of Jesus Christ to some people. I always try to remember that. Sometimes when I remember that, I get really bummed out and like, oh.
A little bit.
There's
frightened.
A few people today who are not gonna like Jesus very much. And then I'm like, okay, drop the ball, God. And then some days I'm like, are we really the best you have to work with? Like, seriously.
Thank God we're not perfect, but serve a perfect God.
Exactly. And then there are those days where I go, oh, thank you. Thank you that I remembered to partner with you correctly today, and that they may have seen something different and like you, you know, because of me. It's so true.
The Bible does say we're walking epistles. We are the Word walking, and for many, we will be the only version of Jesus they'll ever see.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what we're supposed to do. And I always hope that, you know, it's my prayer for my friends that are not Christians, because I do have many friends that are not Christians, and I love them equally to all my friends, but I always pray this prayer that on their deathbed, they will remember who I am and who I served. And when they have that realization, because we all do. What do people do when they start rolling down a cliff? They don't go, oh, here I go. They go, oh God, help me.
Do you know, I was really blown away
so
this week.
True. There are no atheists in foxholes.
I was with my, like, doing girly stuff, hair stuff, talking of hair. And she's like, she was talking about this family that have come to her son's school and how they'd invited her there at Turks and Caicos, all these amazing places. And she said, it was my husband's birthday. They've only known us like 8 months, and they said, come, we'll do his birthday. And they did this beautiful party, and they're just so accepting, and they're just so amazing. And I mean, it's okay, because if I'd known them for years, but anyway, it transpired, this family is an amazing Christian family, and what it's done, and they're walking the walk. They haven't told her, like, she's done the research, and she found out they were Christians and told me, because she knew I was a Christian.
Yeah.
But isn't that amazing? Through their actions, she's like, I've never experienced this acceptance and this love and this lavish of generosity ever before.
It can almost be suspicious if you don't understand it. And I think that's what you said.
Oh, yeah. I think that's very true. That kind of actually leads me someplace. And I may be opening a huge can of worms that we might have to unpack in another episode, but I do want to go there. I have such a heart and to call the wounded back to church. I think there's a lot of people that have been wounded by the church, you know, and like Zana, you said, it can almost be suspicious receiving that kind of love. Well, what about people who went to the church or to God or to a believer looking for love and got hurt or rejected, and so now they want nothing to do with it? What do we say to them? How do we get them back?
I feel like I was one of those people.
Christine is a pastor's kid and was very much wanted anything but the church until her dad forced her to go to the prayer room in Kansas City.
But I'm actually thinking of recently, actually the beginning of this year. So I was really close to walking away, or I don't, maybe I wasn't. Roger says I wasn't close to walking away from the Lord.
No, but you were having a questioning.
Yes, season. I was questioning, and I was mostly hurt because I felt like the church was religious and just cared about rules and this and that, and what about, you know, whatever, all dumb stuff. But it wasn't until we lost our daughter early this year, and it was the church that came and loved us. And I think it's when people are broken and they're hurting that you can come and just serve, not even say anything about Jesus and love them in that place, that it made me go, wow. All of those things that I believed about the church were lies. You are the hands and feet of Christ.
Beautiful.
And so to me, I'm like, hey, if someone's going through it, serving them, loving them where they're at, not telling them, giving them every Bible verse, but like you guys are saying, through your actions, that's showing love more than anything. So I would say that.
Yeah, your actions speak louder than words.
I think it's also about when you have a revelation of Christ. One of the things I've been doing with my girls in our Bible study is teaching this tool, which really lets them hear the voice of God and build a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, the church is built up of humans. Mm. And I'm a human, and I certainly let people down and make a cock up life on a regular basis. So we're looking for our growth in a church with the people around us, they're going to let us down. Yeah. If we look for the growth with Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit in Jesus, then there is no letdown. He's perfect. And I think that comes back to these people leaving the church. Yeah. Right? They've been offended. It will be offense within the body. It's not going to be offense with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The navigation, our navigation point when we go to Christ on these things will never let us down. Mm. But people do. And it's like, so where are their faith? And I would say those people we want to bring back into church is back to what you said, love holy, but give them the tools to hear the voice of God and have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. And we can't prop Jesus up. Yeah. We can just be there to try and emulate him.
Yeah.
He doesn't need any propping up. We just need to point them in the right direction.
Yeah.
Religiosity will do that. Religiosity will want you to have a relationship with God through the church.
Mm. Yes. Ooh.
Wow. That's
okay.
And if the church falls, you go tumbling down with them. You need to get to a place where you read this word, because this and no other piece of writing will tell you exactly what to do. This is the manual of how to. You can't build a car if you haven't read the how to manual of building a car. You're going to put the wheels on the roof and everything's going to be wrong. You have to read how to, because that way, firstly, you'll be protected. Because if you're in a church that does not preach this, then you can walk out the door and four doors down, you can walk into a different church. And if they don't preach this, then four doors down, you can walk and go and find, you will find a church that preaches this. And once you find that, you're still not going to believe through that church to God. You build this, and this is your relationship. You have your relationship with God through the word, because that way you know you're speaking to the right God, number one, and you know exactly how to approach him, what to expect from him, what the relationship has, and what we've been speaking about, you understand your identity. And I think that, Christy, you've had a lot of experience with identity. I just feel like every time we talk about identity, I want to swing over and have her talk about that.
I know. Will you, if we stop here, will you come back and talk some more, Christine? Can you hang with us?
Oh, yeah.
All right. We're out of time for today's session, but we will be back next week. I told you we are taking a journey with girlfriends into sisterhood and into women and our role in the world today, and really and truly getting an appreciation for how powerful we are. So whatever you're going through as you watch this, understand that what I hope you're learning is how to link arms with some sisters around you who can strengthen you in the right ways, and that's to help point you toward your relationship with your father. We'll be back next week. I'm Cynthia Garrett.
We'll never stop. We can't.